Hey folks, welcome to Human Performance Bites. So did you know that the first phone numbers were limited to 7 digits, as psychologists determined that most errors occurred when the number was increased to 8 digits or higher, which cost the phone companies money? Well, for most of us, remembering digits relies on short-term memory, or working memory, the ability to hold information in our minds for a brief time and work with it. For example, multiplying 24 by 17 without using paper would rely on your short-term or working memory. Another type of memory is episodic memory. This is the ability to remember the episodes of our lives. If you were given the task of recalling everything you did 2 days ago, that would be a test of your episodic memory. You'd be required to mentally travel through the day in your mind and note down its main events. The concept of memory storage was analysed by American psychologists, including George Miller, in the 1950s. They developed something called information processing theory, which is a cognitive theory that focuses on how information is processed into our brains. The theory describes how our brains filter information from what we're paying attention to in the present moment, to what gets stored in our short-term memory or working memory, and ultimately, what gets moved into our long-term memory. The premise of information processing theory is that creating a long-term memory is something that happens in stages. First, we perceive something through our sensory memory, which is everything we can see, hear, feel, or taste in a given moment. Our short-term memory is what we then use to remember things for short periods, like a phone number. And long-term memory is stored permanently in our brains, which episodic memory is a category of. Information processing theory essentially compares the human brain to a computer. The input is the information we give to the computer, while the CPU is likened to our short-term memory and the hard drive is our long-term memory. Our cognitive processes filter information, deciding what is important enough to save from our sensory memory to our short-term memory and ultimately to encode into our long-term memory. Our cognitive processes include thinking, perception, remembering, recognition, logical reasoning, imagining, problem-solving, and our sense of judgment and planning. Information is filtered from our sensory memory into our short-term or working memory. From here, we process the information further. Some of the information we hold in our short-term memory is discarded or filtered away once again, and a portion of it is encoded or stored in our long-term memory. A number of factors impact how we process things in our working memory. These include our individual cognitive abilities, the amount of information we're being asked to remember at any given time, how focused we're able to be on a given day, and how much of our attention we're giving to that information. Our sensory and working memories have a limited capacity for storing information. The term cognitive load relates to the amount of information that working memory can hold at any time. Since working memory has a limited capacity, learning methods should avoid overloading it with additional activities that don't directly contribute to learning. So anything from distractions to trying to learn too much without taking breaks and looking after yourself is going to be detrimental here. We also have the ability to focus on the information we deem to be the most relevant. We then use selective processing to bring our attention to those details in an effort to remember them for the future. Repetition is a crucial factor here. If we want to transfer crucial information from our short-term memory into long-term storage, we must repeat it more than once, and this is where active recall and spacing is so important. Just remembering facts isn't necessarily going to help you understand a topic or to effectively apply your knowledge. So let's look at how memory relates to learning. In 1963, psychologist Arthur Melton outlined 3 related stages necessary for learning in the memory process: encoding, storage, and retrieval. Encoding is defined as the initial learning of information. Storage refers to maintaining information over time, and retrieval is the ability to access information when you need it. If you meet someone for the first time at a party or event, you need to encode their name while you associate that name with their face. Then you need to maintain the information over time. If you see that person a week later, you need to recognize their face and have it serve as a cue to retrieve their name. Any successful act of remembering requires that all 3 stages be intact. So let's look at encoding first. To improve learning and memory, we need to encode information in conjunction with strong cues that will bring back the remembered information when we need it. But how do we actually do this? We should construct meaningful memory cues that remind us of the original experience. And those cues should be distinctive and not associated with other memories. So how can this information be used practically to combine the memory cues of encoding and the self-testing and repetition of active recall and spacing? Well, the key here is how you integrate mnemonic devices. If we think back to memory masters and how they're able to learn huge lists of numbers and facts, they do it by making strong associations in their brain and ordering that information. In addition to mnemonics, here are 4 quick ways to improve your ability to remember anything when learning. Firstly, break up things into smaller parts. There's only so much information we can take on board at once, our so-called cognitive load. So when you're learning, you should move at an appropriate pace, giving yourself plenty of breaks and opportunities to process that information. Make it meaningful. You're more likely to retain information that's meaningful by connecting it to real-life scenarios and to your own personal experiences. So try and visualize and link concepts together as you test yourself. Connect the dots. To optimize the chances of material being retained in your long-term memory, you should interleave topics. By providing sufficient background information and connecting the current topic to what's previously been learned and to what will be learned next, it will help you to more easily remember things. And finally, repeat, repeat, repeat. One of the simplest ways to encode new facts into long-term memory is to present it more than once. Repeating information in different formats, whether verbal, written, visual, or otherwise, is a great way of doing this. You might notice I've been doing this lots with some key concepts, and I'm repeating it again here so you retain it in the future. So to summarize, remembering things involves three related processes: encoding information, storing it, and then retrieving it. The key to improving our ability to remember is to improve the processes of encoding and to use techniques that guarantee effective retrieval of information. Good encoding techniques include relating new information to what we already know, forming mental images, and creating associations among information that needs to be remembered, so-called memory mnemonics. The key to good retrieval is developing effective cues that will lead you back to that encoded information, and some of the best cues are sensory and distinct, like a scent or a very strong feeling. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed that bite, be sure to check out the longer dive on my YouTube channel by going to www.verti.com/Alex or following me on socials @AlexanderFYoung. Keep learning, stay productive, and I'll catch you again next time.